Hello and welcome to the opening bell. The last time I said that, I was in Las Vegas and the fight of the century was upon us.
We were just mere hours from the fight of the century.
We were, and looking back, I was probably a little bit overexcited. We did intend, the intention always was to record a podcast after the fight itself, but for one reason or another, we didn't manage to do that. It was all a little bit hectic in the media centre, with people obviously writing copy and what have you after the fight, so we didn't get the chance to do that. But this is the debrief. We've got about half an hour now to talk about the fight. There seems to be probably more news spilling from the aftermath than there was in the build-up.
Yeah.
So we've covered all the build-up pretty much. We've covered the weigh-in, how wonderful that was. What we haven't talked about is the fight. First of all, John, did you enjoy the fight?
I really did. It seems from the reaction from the rest of the world they were underwhelmed by it. I found it completely enthralling. I appreciate it wasn't World War III, and you know, not too many bombs went off. But I found it gripping the whole way through. I thought Mayweather started out really well, and then suddenly Pacquiao came to life in the fourth round, and I thought it sort of closed the gap. You know, really came into the fight, made it a competitive fight, and then Mayweather made sure of his win at the end. So I was completely gripped by it all the way through, though I think a lot of the rest of the world felt disappointed, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose I can understand it to an extent. Particularly, I mean, I would imagine that there would be the boxing hardcore that kind of know exactly what they're getting from a Floyd Mayweather fight.
Yeah.
Appreciate that level of intelligent boxing that he's got, where ultimately he works out his opponent. Sometimes some opponents he does it quicker than others, and then he just nullifies their strengths, and that is an art, and it's brilliant. But you can understand it when it's being built up. The very nature of boxing is people are, and they're paying out, say, £20 over here or $100 in America. They're expecting to see, like you say, World War III or something of that nature. But this never was going to be. And I think that I've written it many times, you know, don't expect Hagler Hearns or something like that. I agree. I thought it was enthralling. There was a point in the fourth and sixth rounds, and I think after six, I had it level. I was probably a little bit kind to Pacquiao to give him the second round. I had it. It wasn't a dud. I don't think it was a dud.
It depends. I mean, I suppose if you have really high expectations of the fight of the century, then I can see how it's technically disappointing.
Yeah.
Though, I didn't think it was a bad fight, high level of skill. And I think, like we were saying on a previous podcast, after the weigh-in, with Mayweather looking so focused, I thought he might just come out and take Pacquiao out.
Yeah.
And the fact that he had a good first few rounds, and I thought hurt Pacquiao, or at least, you know, sort of rocked him back, I thought Pacquiao could be in real trouble, and I was glad it was a competitive fight, and I was glad we got 12 rounds out of it.
Yeah. I've pretty soon, pretty much as soon as we kind of sat there for the post-fight press conference, there was rumblings going round about the fact that Pacquiao was injured.
There wasn't a whisper of it until after the fight.
That didn't occur until after the fight. I must admit, I didn't think Pacquiao looked like he was injured in the fight.
I thought he did rather well in the fight.
And the fact that they said that the injury kind of reoccurred in the third round, and what followed in the fourth kind of doesn't really add up in a way.
Yeah, though I think they might have gone back on that now and said it happened in the happened in the fourth round or something like
right,
that.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, certainly at the post-fight press conference, they were saying the injury flared up in round three.
Yeah. I mean, my impression of it was that the Pacquiao 5 years ago would have had perhaps a better chance. It just seemed to me that, although I don't think Pacquiao by any means is shot, or you know, really damaged goods and shouldn't be fighting anymore. I think that he hasn't quite got that intensity that he had a few years ago. That was my impression of it. Didn't think, oh, what on earth's wrong with Pacquiao?
But I don't know. 5 years ago, I thought Mayweather would win it pretty handily.
Yeah.
So I suppose the sort of the counter argument is that 5 years on, Pacquiao's a bit of a smarter fighter.
Yeah.
Which maybe you need to be to fight with Mayweather.
What did you make of him in the post-fight press conference? Pacquiao, I mean, he said it in the ring afterwards. He said that, look, I won, he didn't do anything. Then in the post-fight presser, he was kind of, he said it again. Look, I really genuinely feel like I won. And he was saying it in a way that I believed that was what he thought.
Yeah.
And he also said something along the lines of, I'm not sure if this was post-fight or in the press conference, he said something that the reason I didn't attack too much harder in the 12th was because I felt that I'd already won the fight. What's your interpretation of that?
You know, Pacquiao and Roach both think he was the aggressor and therefore he got the rounds. I suppose, you know, it's always risky to try and, you know, defend a lead, because I thought what Mayweather did so well was that he really stamped his mark on the last two rounds. He really controlled them, you know, to make sure of the win. So it's always risky to try and defend your lead, especially if you're wrong, as in if you're not ahead on the cards. But I could see how, I can sort of see how, if you think you're ahead, you don't want to do anything crazy against such a clever fighter like Mayweather. So that sort of, it sort of makes sense. But it was a bit strange in the post-fight press conference. Pacquiao was basically, well, he was basically blaming his injury, saying he couldn't do what he wanted to do, but he still thought he won. But I don't think that's going to go down well with boxing fans. It's like sort of injuries that emerge after the fight and are mentioned beforehand tend not to be well appreciated.
If they're not worth mentioning in order to call off the fight, they shouldn't be mentioned at all. That's my thinking.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're not going to mention them and say you can't fight, then you don't mention them afterwards.
Yeah.
It just seems, that seems it. So, I mean, I was a little
And he could still fight, like he was fighting in there. And also, so like he got this injury beforehand that they were basically managing so he could fight. You know, is that better or worse than you can get, and you know, break your hand in the first round, and then you've still got to deal with it on the fly. So at least they were sort of, you know, these things do happen in the sport. I don't feel outraged or shortchanged.
What do you make of, I mean, I woke up this morning I live in Brighton, and I get woken up every morning. You wonder where I'm going with this, aren't you? I get woken up every morning by my radio alarm going off, and it's the local station called Juice FM.
No, you don't, Matt. You get woken up by the sound of your own screams.
Anyway, talk about that another time, my night terrors. But so on the new, bear in mind, I've never ever heard the word boxing mentioned on this local
Juice
radio.
FM.
And they're talking about that people are in Nevada. There could be a case. Pacquiao could be sued for going into this fight injured, and stuff like that. Also, it was in the Metro, which is not my favourite newspaper, but it's free, and I always glance over it in the mornings on the commuting. And I noticed that even on Wednesday after the fight, you've got Mayweather Pacquiao coverage, I think, was on page 3. And also there was a full page devoted to it at the back. So it has captured the imagination of the public, but I'm not seeing too much positive reaction to it, which is a shame.
Which is a shame. I'm not sure. I mean, should we be outraged that Pacquiao sort of dealt with, you know, had to cope with this injury? Boxers do have to deal with injuries. Mayweather was talking about that, you know, he'd hurt his hands, but he's a winner, and he doesn't make excuses. And it's just, it would have been worse if the fight had been called off, wouldn't it? If you called off a fight which, you know, with an injury that you could sort of manage and fight through, it's a sort of, you know, that, is that not worse? I mean, obviously there's a lot of money on the line, there's a lot of pressure for them to go through with the fight, so you can see the risk is that the pressure is so much, he could have, you know, been fighting when he wasn't fully capable of defending himself. But I don't think that was the case, because it seemed like he did all right, really. What actually happened was what we expected. So I'm not sure he should really be sued for, you know, what can you sue him for?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Imagine if he had, say, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and said, look, I can't fight. I've got a really bad shoulder, I can't fight. Would the fallout to that announcement have been worse than the fallout that we're currently experiencing?
I mean, you've got to think it would be, because this fight was so hard to make. Would they ever get the chance to do it again?
Exactly, I agree.
You know, like, because the Rumble in the Jungle was delayed with a cut, wasn't it?
Yes.
But, yeah. You know, everyone was out in Africa and they just had to stay there. I think with this fight, a delay, you know, this could have been his only chance to fight Floyd Mayweather.
I understand why he went through with it. I can also understand why people might feel a little bit shortchanged. It's not like it's not like it was that cheap for people to watch them. And I think someone I was listening, because I stayed out in Las Vegas until the, oh God, I don't know, lost track of all days at the moment, Monday. And there were some reports on, I was skimming through the news channels and just really wanted to get a taste of what different people were saying. And it was a bit of a shame, really. There was some positive stuff.
Yeah.
But the majority did seem to be like, we've got a news report here. It's almost like they wanted to go in and say that boxing had failed a little bit. And some guy made the point that, okay, if this is the Super Bowl of boxing, why are they charging that much money to see that nonsense? Whereas, you know, you're not charged that to see the Super Bowl. The fact is, though, is it was an absolutely massive event and people did buy into it. And perhaps we're in a privileged position being out there. And I think if you look back at it as an event as a whole, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a really good week, from the sort of crazy arrivals through to their, not the sort of public press conference, but the kind of press conference we were lucky enough to sort of be seeing, where they actually said some interesting things rather than just thanking God and their advisors and sponsors.
Exactly.
It was quite interesting, actually, what they had to say beforehand.
No, it was, but I think that perhaps we're the wrong people to kind of say too much as to whether or not it was a success or whether or not it was value for money, because we did have that privileged position. We went into it, we were living and breathing that fight in the week leading up to it. The vast majority of people, their only real experience of that fight became watching the occasional build-up show, and then they would just sit down and watch the fight. They didn't have that level of anticipation that we had. So I can understand it, but I thought Mayweather ultimately turned in an excellent exhibition. Pacquiao, I thought, did okay. It's a shame that there wasn't a few more moments that he had in rounds 4 and 6 in the second half of the fight. I think if he'd have had another couple of moments and it had been quite tight, there wouldn't be any complaints at all.
No.
But do you, you know, initially Mayweather, he didn't dismiss the thought of a rematch. He was a little dismissive of the injury claims. Didn't really think that was fair to mention them, and I agreed with him on that.
Yeah, because you don't sort of, if someone's won it fair and square. Pacquiao did say, I can't remember his exact words, but he did sort of praise him as a fighter. But I think if someone's won it fair and square, you probably don't want to be blaming your injury. Save that till later.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you want to sell a rematch, well, you need these little things to sort of add some elements of intrigue.
This is true. I'm not convinced the injury would have been mentioned if it wasn't for Bob Arum, to be honest. Not sure if Pacquiao would have come out and gone, well, it was my shoulder. I think his line was, look, I thought I'd won the fight. But Mayweather, as I say, Mayweather initially, you know, didn't want to talk about a rematch. He didn't want to talk about any opponent, as he generally doesn't. He kind of just said, look, let me just enjoy my victory. However, it's come to light today that he sent some text message to somebody at ESPN saying, yes, he would be interested in a rematch once Pacquiao's shoulder had sorted itself out. Is the rematch feasible, John?
I'm bang up for it.
As a punter, would you be bang up for it?
It might, for $100, it might be a hard sell. For an English viewer who pays 20 quid to watch it, I'd pay 20 quid to watch it again. $100 seems like a lot of money, so I need to get a few friends and then we can share the cost. But yeah, I still think it's a rematch isn't as big as the first one. Maybe nowhere close to being as big as the first one, but I don't see another fight that's bigger than Mayweather-Pacquiao 2. You know, there's still enough intrigue in there. You know, if Pacquiao could find a way to repeat those moments of success to make a rematch interesting. And I think I said this before, if he could fight, you know, if Mayweather's fought Marcus Maidana twice, he can fight Manny Pacquiao twice, definitely. And when you look at the other, you know, in turn, he's got to fight someone. And who else is out there? Amir Khan is a pretty decent fight, but he's not the sort of massive global superstar that Manny Pacquiao is. And other than him, you know, who else?
Miguel Cotto.
Up at that level. Yeah, no, Cotto's a sort of not a bad shout, especially if it's sort of might nearly be at middleweight, that fight. Though Mayweather seems less inclined to fight above. Is that just me, or does he seem less inclined to fight above welterweight now?
I think welterweight's where he feels, you know, after all his time, he feels that he's at his best, he's in his peak condition. But also, he made that, and I'm not sure if he was off the cuff, he often says these things in post-fight press conferences and goes back on it afterwards, but he said, look, very soon I'm going to relinquish all the belts. So that would suggest he's got no real interest in you know, fighting any mandatory contenders or even unification against the likes of Kell Brook, for example.
So it's bad news for Kell Brook.
Yeah, it's bad news for Kell Brook. I think that would have been a tough sell. And you do have to look at it as well. So let's say that his next fight is his last one. You need someone. You need someone in the opposite corner who's got a bit of a name, surely, don't you? And I think as much as I'd like to see him fight Brook as much as anyone, I think the likes of Kell Brook, the likes of Keith Thurman, will have a tough job getting this fight.
Because
they're just not big enough names over
there. Exactly, because the thing that would make a Kell Brook fight good is the fact that it would unify all four titles, so Mayweather, you know, would be finishing as having unified the division, which seems like, you know, something I'd be interested in, but Mayweather clearly isn't, because he said, in the press conference, he said that he was relinquishing his titles on Monday, and then he said, in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah. So, I mean, what, in terms of Mayweather's legacy, in terms of how we will judge him in years to come, and incidentally, I think that we'll judge him a lot more fondly than people are kind of admitting at the moment.
I think with hindsight, you tend to look back and sort of think, oh, actually, how good was that guy?
Yeah.
I think fighters are sort of criticised more when they're active, and then when people have a chance to look back, sort of the negative aspects about them are more easily forgotten, frankly.
What would be the best fight for his legacy?
What, right now?
For his, yeah. Golovkin?
Yeah. Yeah, probably Golovkin. Golovkin said he'd come down to middleweight to do it, so Golovkin is probably the most, in pure boxing terms, that's the most competitive fight to be made. But is, you know, Golovkin's name isn't at the superstar level yet, though I think he's well on the way to getting there. So I think probably sort of in cruel business terms, probably a Cotto or a Pacquiao rematch are the next biggest fights to have. And the Pacquiao rematch, I don't know, if he needs an operation on his shoulder, he could be out for
They said it would be next year, which then kind of throws this whole, I'm definitely fighting in September, it's definitely going to be my last fight.
Yeah.
Turns it into, which is so clear on Saturday night after the fight, that's what he was going to do. If he does now say, look, okay, I'll fight Pacquiao when he comes back, it turns out it makes it a little bit murky. We're not so sure. Yeah. But I'm not convinced that in a year's time, if Pacquiao's out for a year, he'll be, 37 then? He's not going to have time to have a warm-up fight. He's going to have to go straight back in against Floyd Mayweather. I don't know. I just think that I think that in a situation like that, we would see an even wider victory for Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, and I suspect of all, Pacquiao's not just not reckless. I think he is a smart fighter, or certainly now he's a smart fighter. But Mayweather is as clever a boxer as you get, and if anyone can learn and adapt to an opponent better out of the two of them, you've got to think Mayweather will have taken more from the 12 rounds they had to figure out how to win the rematch better.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I'd like it for the build-up.
Well, it would be a spectacle again, wouldn't it? It would be a spectacle. I'm not anti Mayweather Pacquiao too. I just think it would be a tougher sell all round, but I still think it probably is, and I think Mayweather will realise this as well. And the amount of times he was mentioning how much he got paid, I also saw him go on ESPN and kind of show them his check that he picked up after the fight.
Didn't he cover up his bank account details?
Yeah, he's very proud of how much he made from that one fight, and the only way he could get close to that again would be to go in with Pacquiao for a second time, and I think he will realise that.
Yeah, but yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to top that for how much can he earn in another fight, and he does. He clearly, he sees a lot of value in breaking those records. Not just obviously he's earned a vast fortune, though. I think it's more, but as well as that, he likes being known as the world's most highly paid athlete. I think he equates those rewards as a sort of measuring stick of how good he is, and that's probably why he thinks. I'm just speculating here, but that's why he probably thinks he's the best of all time, because he's the most highly paid of all time.
Yeah. I think when it actually comes to retiring for good, it might be harder than he thinks. But he seems adamant that he's going to get to 49-0 and walk away.
And before the fight, he was saying that he wasn't that interested in boxing anymore. He didn't watch it. He preferred watching basketball, that kind of stuff. That his sort of love for the sport was faded. That it was just business, just a job.
What about Manny Pacquiao? Okay, so shoulder injury does look genuine. It seems that he will have to have treatment on it. What does he do? Let's imagine that the Floyd Mayweather rematch doesn't happen. I don't think he disgraced himself against Mayweather. I don't think there should be any calls for him to retire if he doesn't want to, although if he does want to, then, more power to him. But what would be, I suspect that Pacquiao still loves it, wants to fight. What would be, could you plot a route back for Pacquiao? And how does this whole thing affect his reputation long term?
I mean, he can definitely come back. If he can come back from being knocked out by Marquez the way he was, and they brought him back pretty cleverly, he can definitely come back from this. I think in the short term, his reputation has taken a bit of a dent from sort of the general boxing fan who are annoyed about the injury and annoyed that he didn't make it more competitive. I think his hardcore supporters, who absolutely loved him beforehand, will love him even more and will be sort of blind to the fact that Mayweather was a fair winner. And with Mayweather throwing all these world titles back into the mix, there are definitely going to be opportunities for him. So we could, I think we could see a sort of similar pattern to how he came back from the Marquez defeat, as in, one or two fights against a lesser opponent. They were talking up, in the past they've talked up Jesse Vargas as a potential Pacquiao opponent, which didn't make much sense, when you wanted Pacquiao to be in a major fight like against Floyd Mayweather. But now on the comeback trail, that's the kind of person you could see him maybe coming back against. I don't think we need to see a third fight with Tim Bradley, but there will be decent guys that he could fight for a world title, and he does have that kind of, he still has that star appeal. Amir Khan, Pacquiao, that's a pretty good fight.
That's a good fight. It wouldn't surprise me to see him in against Marquez for a fifth time. I think it would make probably financial sense for both of them, perhaps even make it a farewell fight for both of them. I'm just not sure, in terms of Pacquiao now, yeah, what is the comeback trail leading to? There was always a sense that, you know, perhaps it would be Mayweather. You know, what would be his goal now that he's lost fairly comprehensively to a man he was chasing for so long?
Well, his
world titles, more world titles.
Yeah, maybe more world titles, but I think his personal goal has to be sort of chasing the rematch, saying I can do better the second time around. I don't think we think he would do better, but you know, that's presumably what he's got to say to himself, what he's got to think. I reckon that's what Freddie Roach probably thinks, especially if Freddie thinks that Manny won the fight. You know, so he could hoover up a world title or two trying to get to that rematch. I have a plan for how the rematch can happen.
What is it?
Okay, so Mayweather fights someone for his to go 49-0. You know, will it be Khan? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. He'll probably fight someone fairly. He should probably fight someone easier. But his retirement fight, so we'll be sort of interested. He retires, his contract with Showtime is over. Then he comes back. His pal Al Haymon has all these like PBC dates on NBC. So Mayweather comes back on a massive event on free-to-air TV. But because it's Mayweather, and because if they can get the rematch with Pacquiao, it's free-to-air, it is like the Super Bowl, it is massive. So it can draw huge numbers of viewers. Therefore, they can make huge money from advertising and sponsorship and however it is that regular sporting events make money. But all the fans who were like, felt shortchanged from paying $100 in America to watch it, can now watch it on free-to-air. So Floyd Mayweather can say, I'm doing this for the fans, this is for you. They do the rematch, a bazillion people watch it. They make loads of money, make history, he goes 50-0. Mayweather out.
You've given that some thought, haven't you? How long have you been mulling that one over?
It just came to me.
Didn't you've been thinking about that since the final bell?
Yeah, I was walking through the desert of Nevada and this burning bush appeared in front of me and spoke to me and said, do that. Yeah, are you down with that?
It's nice, yeah.
That would be pretty, pretty, pretty good.
It would be. It would be. I can, I hear you. So what was your favourite moment of your time in Las Vegas?
I did enjoy round four. When Pacquiao rocked him, came into it, I suddenly thought, you know, from going after the first three rounds, thinking, okay, Pacquiao's probably about to be in a world of trouble, I suddenly thought, we've got a fight here.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, there was always that skepticism of, is this really going to happen? Even once they'd weighed in, you're sort of pretty confident it was going to happen. But if Pacquiao had pulled out with a shoulder injury beforehand, everyone would have just thought, oh, this was never going to happen. This can never happen. And the fact that, you know, they're in the ring, there's only the referee between them and the first bell goes, so it really was on. I was having to sort of blink to believe it.
You mentioned Pacquiao there and the weigh-in. The weigh-in was absolutely unbelievable. And I think it was where it kind of you were just like, oh, my God, this is going to happen. But the thing is, as well, if Pacquiao had even just a niggling doubt about his shoulder, he did a fine job of disguising it in the build-up, because I've never seen a man so happy to be having a fight in my life.
Yeah, exactly. And he had his arms in the air the whole time.
Maybe he should have given him a bit of a rest.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't look like he had too many mobility issues. It is hard to tell from the outside looking in. Maybe they were expecting to get this anti-inflammatory injection in the changing room beforehand, which the Nevada Commission didn't allow them to do.
Because they hadn't declared the injury beforehand.
Yeah, they had. Yeah. They told USADA, the drug testing body, but the Nevada Commission did say afterwards that they hadn't been informed in time, and they hadn't informed them in the medical check at the weigh-in the day before is when they should have done, according to the commission. I can sort of see how if you've got an injury, you want to keep it a secret because you don't want your opponent to know. But then it's a bit hard to have sour grapes about not getting your injection in the changing room immediately before the fight. And the chairman of the commission was saying afterwards, look, we're uncomfortable with any boxer taking painkillers straight before a fight because, you know, this is a fight and they need to be aware of what their body's going through, and if the pain is masked, that could result in them taking too much punishment or something like that, which made sense at the time.
No, it does. It does make sense. Okay, we're gonna have to call.
What was your favourite moment?
The weigh-in, without question. The weigh-in where I nearly lost it. But we've got maybe another couple of minutes. Should we talk about another fight? There is one happening this weekend.
What? Something other than Mayweather Pacquiao is happening?
Alvarez Kirkland.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Anthony Joshua versus the South American dude.
Oh yeah, Anthony Joshua against South American dude. Is he still fighting the dude that took Shannon Briggs the full route?
And lost to Shannon Briggs.
Watch out, Josh.
Ouch. Canelo Kirkland, yeah, I fear for Kirkland.
I fear for Kirkland. I don't know, he hasn't been fighting at this level regularly recently, has he? And although he's great fun to watch, I think that he might get bulldozed.
Yeah, I'm big, like Canelo is, if he's got someone in front of him, you know, and even then Canelo did pretty well with a tricky fighter like Lara, but if he's got someone in front of him, that person isn't going to be able to match him punch for punch. But I think, yeah, it's going to be explosive. I just think it might be more, those explosions might be detonating on poor old James Kirkland.
He's got a puncher's chance, hasn't he? He's a hellacious banger when his mind's right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And though Alvarez hasn't really shown any signs that he struggles to take a punch, but Kirkland could give him something to think about, couldn't he, if he lands clean.
And has he been with anyone who's as hard a puncher as Kirkland?
Probably not.
Because he was quite well handled and to get to his Mayweather fight, and since then he has, you know, Lara's actually not a bad puncher, actually. He's quite hurt a few people, but still not. It'll be interesting if he takes, to see if Kirkland can put a dent in him. Definitely worth watching.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And going back to Anthony Joshua, he's not an awful opponent. Awful opponent, but you strongly expect him to get through without any issues whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm sort of surprised he's fighting any, because like Kevin Johnson is like a good fight for him at this stage. So I'm surprised he's sort of fighting anyone between now and the Kevin Johnson fight.
Yeah.
So really, you know, really, it should be someone who's just got no chance, and presumably this guy does have no chance. I'm quite intrigued by the Birmingham show. I think it is all the British fighters, you'd expect them to win. I think Cal Yafai might have have a real fight on his hands, or a decent fight on his hands. Sam Eggington's good to watch. He's got a Commonwealth title fight. It's good to see Matthew Macklin coming back. It's probably going to be against an easy guy, but he's got Callum Smith finally back from an injury. Callum Smith is someone who could really do something at super middleweight as well. Is he the new Karl Froch? The next Karl Froch?
Callum Smith.
Is he? I'm asking.
I don't know. I suspect that he might have a different line of questioning for Floyd Mayweather than Karl Froch if he was ever given the chance to ask him a question.
He is good though, Callum Smith.
I like the look of Callum Smith. I really do. Okay, we're going to have to go, I'm afraid. I feel like we could have banged on and on and on for a lot longer, but we time restraints in this meeting room, so we need to call it a day. But thanks again for downloading. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed the updates last week. Apologies we couldn't do the final podcast from Las Vegas. But yeah, it was great to be able to talk to you all. And we will be back next week. Don't forget to download or buy the latest issue, which is packed with all the fallout, the ringside report as well in there. So yeah, enough to keep you occupied, hopefully, until next time.